Good, brother. It's good to see Temple Baptist Church meeting. Amen. 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 You go a while without that and you miss it. I am so glad to see Temple Baptist Church in this house tonight. I know the church is, I know there's many of the church out there watching us tonight, and we're glad for that too. We really are. But you're here, and I'm glad. It's good to see you. These beautiful little children in here. I love children. I always will. 45 years ago, my little girl was about the size of that one right there in the middle. Yeah, 45 years ago. Amen. Time really flies. Turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1. You say, how old is your daughter? I ain't telling you. She'd get mad at me. 2 Peter chapter number 1. And 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am at this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Now, note carefully. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Amen. Father, bless your word. Bless your word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you'll notice what the Apostle Peter says here in 1 Peter chapter number 1, in verse number 4, he says, are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. If you notice in the progression, notice the progression as he matures. This is a maturity. This is as he grows in the Lord. And if you'll notice what is the last one there, verse number 7. Brotherly kindness, and then to what? Charity. And he told you in 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 that charity, that's it. That's the end product. There's nothing greater than charity. And of course, the charity he's talking about is the love of God.
That's right.
You can't force spiritual maturity. I know a lot of people try to. I know they're saved for 2 or 3 years. They think they know everything. You know, they've mastered the Bible and they're ready to teach you. And you can't teach you can't teach them a thing. They already know it all. And they're arrogant. And they get arrogant like that. And once they get arrogant like that, there's nothing you can do with them until God can bring them back down again and set their feet where they started. And it's such a shame because you see it happen to some people. It doesn't happen to all, but it happens to some. Now, the term for that is unteachable. And I've met a few unteachable people. And I know a few unteachable people today. And it's so sad because, folks, believe me, I'm a student of the Bible.
Amen.
I'm a student.
Yes.
And I want to learn. And because of that, God shows me, teaches me. And I see things. I've seen things in the last 6 months that I've never seen in the Bible before. And it's an amazing thing how that God builds on your knowledge.
Yes.
So the Apostle Paul, Peter here is telling you this is practical knowledge. And he said to add to these things, to grow in these things. You know, the scripture says to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. If you don't grow in the Lord, then you're stunted. And being stunted, you know, he said, he would like to come to you as mature, but I have to come to you as babes. And that's a sad thing, because once your growth has been stunted, then everything else is, and it messes you up spiritually. You wonder sometimes why that you haven't grown in the Lord. It's because that somewhere you got stopped. Somewhere you ran up against something that messed you up. Now, it could be false doctrine. It could be somebody that you're following and they led you astray. It could be something that happened in your life that you try to figure out, can't find an explanation for it, and then that's as far as you'll ever go with God. A lot of different reasons, all kinds of stuff in this life. But you have to go on with him. Look what he says in verse number 8. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, of course, is listed for us in the book of Galatians. And fruitful here is worked out in a practical manner, because it says that you will not be barren nor unfruitful. Now, there are a lot of people that are really barren. I mean, they don't have any. Apparently, they don't have any concern about anything but themselves. And that's sad, because we should be able to bear one another's burdens, minister to each other. That's what we should be able to do. If you ever get into a church where you are really ministering to each other and you really care about each other and you carry each other's burdens, you're going to find a powerful church. You're going to find one. But if you get into a church where they're nitpicking, backbiting, and going around all the time trying to find fault with each other, you're in a mess. They may have the greatest doctrine in the world, but spiritually they're dead. He said in verse number 9, "But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." There's three things here, and these are very important, each one of them. First of all, he's blind. In other words, you get to the where you see, you can't see yourself. You can see everybody else. You can see everybody else, but you can't see yourself. The Lord Jesus said, "Cast." He said, cast out. What did he say cast out of your eye? Before you can see what? Exactly. And this is what happens to us. We get to where, you know, we justify our behavior. We justify it because, well, you know, I'm special with God. I'm a teacher. I'm a preacher. I'm this. I'm that. Look what all I've done for the Lord. And you'd be surprised at how many preachers and Christians have fallen thinking because they have some special relationship with God built upon what they've accomplished that gives them freedom to do whatever they please. And down they come. For sin, when it is finished, does what? And it doesn't make no respecter of persons. But notice carefully. He that lacketh these things where you're growing. God allows you, as you grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, he'll let you get away with things when you're first saved that you will not get away with later. And the reason he lets you get away with them, because you're ignorant. You don't know any better. And he may chasten you. When I say let you get away, you never get away from anything, ultimately, with sin.
Amen.
But the truth of the matter is, his chastening is definitely directed and related to your growth in the Lord. How much you know and how much you should know. But he that lacketh these things is blind, number one, and he cannot see afar off. He doesn't have heaven in view. He doesn't have that heaven in view. He's not thinking about that. He's thinking about the here and the now. And this is definitely relevant for now. Look what a mess we're going through. The president calls it a plague. I agree with him. It's a plague. And we're right in the middle of it. So where are we going to go? Well, we're going on with the Lord. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go on with the Lord. You know, whether we live or whether we die, in him we live and move and have our being. He is our life. The Lord Jesus Christ is who I live for. You know, what he teaches is wonderful. What he did is wonderful. All of that is wonderful. But he is more wonderful than what he did and what he taught. It's him that we need. And this is not to belittle what he taught. Good night, folks. I'm a preacher. I've preached that for years. What he taught, never man spake like this man. But it seems like some people, all they know about the Lord Jesus Christ is what he did. Or what he said. And these are good things. But do you know him? That's salvation. to rightly know him. Verse 9, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, people say, well, you're making excuses. I mean, so-and-so did so-and-so. They ought to pay. Well, who's going to make them pay? You see, a person that does not know how to forgive has never been forgiven.
Amen.
You can count on that. If you've ever really been forgiven, you understand what it is to be convicted and be forgiven. And you can have compassion for each other. That doesn't mean you condone anything. That means you help. If you're spiritual, he said in Galatians 6, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. And then what's the next thing he says? Considering thyself also.
Yeah.
See? We should learn. We should learn when we see a brother fall or a sister fall or get shaking. You can tell that their faith is quivering. You don't push them down. You start praying for them. And then ask God to give you the wisdom to minister to them. Because you don't minister to everybody the same way. But this is important. Because if you've forgotten that you were purged from your old sins, you're self-righteous. And self-righteousness is like the Berlin Wall. I was talking to my little granddaughter last night. I marvel at she's 11 years old, and I marvel at what she knows about history. She knew about the Berlin Wall. She understood East Germany and all that stuff. I know, preacher, that's your granddaughter. I know it. But the Berlin Wall, you remember when President Kennedy went over there? And Gorbachev was the general secretary of the Socialist USSR. It wasn't Russia, it was the USSR back then. And President Reagan got up, it wasn't Kennedy, it was Reagan. President Reagan got up and said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. You remember that? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're self-righteous tonight, there's a wall just like that between you and God. You want to know why your prayers aren't answered? You want to know why you have no power with God? You want to know why you lost your joy? I know where I came from. Brother, didn't you just tell us you know where you came from? I'll never forget where I came from. And sometimes I get up here and I marvel, Lord, you scraped the bottom of the barrel when you got me. And you put me up here and you gave me the Bible to preach. Your holy, holy, holy word.
Yeah.
I've told people, I've said, did you know the Lord will take anything?
Yeah.
And he will. He will. He will. Because he died for everyone.
Yes, he did.
So I don't know what your past is. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me where you were, what you've done. You know, I'm not interested in counting all the bones in your closet. Don't care about it. But I do care about this. Don't ever forget who you came from. You see, the Apostle Peter is speaking personally here, isn't he? And hath forgotten that he was purged. Don't you remember when he denied the Lord? And then you remember what the Lord told the disciples? Go tell Peter. Make sure Peter hears this. Make sure Peter understands I called his name out. That I haven't forgotten him. And boy, that was the most wonderful thing Peter ever heard in his life. Is when that disciple said, oh, he's called, he's going to meet us in Galilee, but he wants you to come too. Oh boy. You talk about firing somebody up. I'm sure Peter said in his soul, you mean after what I did? You mean after I denied him? He still wants me. Yes, because you ain't got him half figured out yet. You're going to learn a lot more about him. You are. You're going to learn a lot more about him. Did you know, folks, that he came into the world to save sinners? He didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Well, who's righteous? Self-righteous. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In sin did my mother conceive me. None righteous. No, not one. It's the man or the woman who is righteous in their own eyes. They don't need a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest thing that ever happened for a sinner. Amen. He's better than all 21-step programs and all rehab centers and all whatever else you want to go. He's it. Son of God. Bless his righteous name. He's never failed us. Never will. Never will. Hath forgotten. Well, I thank God. Either the Lord reminds me, or I'm sure Satan reminds me plenty of times too. He wears me out. Oh yeah, he'll beat me over the head with where I came from. But I have a way of saying to him, I know, devil, you're telling the truth. You're telling the truth, and I'm going to tell you something. That's covered by the blood that's been forgiven. And he always has to leave me. So Peter says something here that's clear. He said, hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Your place. What is your place? You're not just a name and a face. 1 Corinthians, go read that when you get home. 1 Corinthians 12. Read it and meditate over that. You've got a place. God's got a reason for you being here. It's not a mistake. It's not just a happenstance or just something that happens. In 1973, when he convicted me, it was that date he intended to convict me. It was that date he intended to save me. And it was that date that I got saved. And I didn't have any idea when he did that, before he ever did that, he's going to call me to preach. I didn't know that. No. Before, in 27 years, living like hell itself. Living for the devil. I had no idea one day I'd be up preaching the word. And laughed in your face if you'd have told me that. I said, well, nutball, what do you mean, preach? Ain't nothing but maybe a man upstairs. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know if there's a God anyway. I never did claim to be an atheist. Was I a pretty good agnostic? Yeah, now I'm preaching. Figure that one out. Figure that one out. If you do these things, you'll never fall. Preaching's a big business. Big deal. It's a big deal. A lot of young men get caught up emotionally, and they want to do something for the Lord. And they open up the Bible and they try to preach. That's all right. That may be the best thing they ever did. There's nothing wrong with that. Because after a while, they'll know. They'll know. If you're truly called to preach, you'll know that calling. You'll know it. You'll know it. That's all I can say. You'll know it. But my part is to help you along the way, to encourage you, give you an opportunity, and see. But it's not my place to call you. Did he call you to teach Sunday school, to give you an understanding in the Scripture? Did he? You know, the Bible just seems to open up to you. It seems like when you read the Scripture that you see a greater context of what you're reading about. Then maybe he called you to teach. Teaching is one of the foundational things for the church.
Right.
Commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. A pastor and bishop ought to be apt to teach. One of the first responsibilities of a teacher is to teach. I remember 43 years ago, we had somebody come through temple here a long, 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 long time ago. And he told me, he said, now preacher, he said, preachers don't teach. He said, all they're supposed to do is preach. And I was about as green as that grass out there. I knew a little better than that, though. I thought, now, what's that talking about over there in 1 Timothy when it says a bishop is apt to teach? You know, reprove, reprove and rebuke and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's teaching. Teach. That's what a pastor ought to do. That's why it's so necessary and so important. He said to give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For so shall an entrance be ministered to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Present truth is the truth as it is now revealed at that time. As it is revealed. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he'll guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit guided the completion of the canon. The canon was finished. But he continues to guide us. If you seek the face of the Lord, if you ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom, he'll get you out of a lot of bad doctrine. He'll save you from some grief if you'll ask him. Wherefore I would be negligent. Verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. He talks about his body, and look what he says here. Verse number 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Now, if you didn't know better, you'd think, well, you mean he's talking about dying. That's not the word. If you look it up in a Greek lexicon, it's exodus. What do you mean? Exodus is where they leave. So you're not dying. Peter said, I'm leaving. There's a whole book in the Bible called Exodus. Starts out with the children of Israel in Egypt. Been there 400 years. As God told Abraham back there in Genesis, he said, know of a surety, your seed will be a stranger. They'll be in a different land for 400 years. In the fourth generation, he said, I'm going to come. So the Exodus, is the book of Exodus, is about Israel coming out of that land. And this is what Peter's talking about. He says, in my decease, in my exodus, not dying, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never what? You'll never see death, dear friend. Thank God. You'll never see it. The unsaved man, though, he quivers and he quakes. Have you noticed the fear that you see in people today? Here's one way of knowing somebody's afraid. He's on edge all the time. See, his nerves are stirred up. Why? He's in survival mode. Like the devil said in the book of Job, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give. It's life. It's the preciousness of the physical life. It's natural to want to live in the flesh. That's natural. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're born again tonight, you know there's far better, far more than what this physical flesh could ever offer you. Now you are simply in a tabernacle. You're not of the tabernacle. You're in it. And one day, you're going to leave it. And Paul said, I'm ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. Peter said, God hath showed me how I must shortly put off this my tabernacle.
Yeah.
Both men, when it came down time to leave, there wasn't any real sadness. I guess the only sadness they might have had would be, maybe I could have done more. But Paul said, I finished my course. So, you know, the Lord made it clear to Paul, I finished my course. Look at Peter, what he says. Verse 16. He wants to leave them with something that is so important. Paul could not say this, but Peter can. Because Paul was not one of the 12. He saw the risen Lord. Now, make no mistake about that. That's who he met on the road to Damascus. But he's not one of the 12. But Peter is. And he's one of the 12 that went to the top of the mountain of transfiguration. Peter, James, and John. Now, look what Peter says about that. Verse 16. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.
Yes.
Now I love Peter. I love his epistle.
That's right.
I love his book. Do you believe that, preacher? Better believe I believe that. I believe that. Now, there's been a lot of assault, especially the Second Peter. There's been a lot of assault from so-called, scholars. They'll always assault the Bible. They don't like inspiration. They don't like that. Their idea of inspiration is that these people wrote in as contemporaries in the place and time they lived. They wrote as they understood things, as they projected them and saw them and they experienced them. And so generally that's what you're getting from the Bible. But it, as far as real prophecy, being able to tell you what's going to happen, that did not exist. Because all of the prophecies and things in the Bible that were fulfilled, according to them, it's after the fact.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
That's right. Yeah.
They go back and write it after the fact, as if it had happened, as if they knew it was going to happen. I believe in inspiration.
Yeah.
I believe God inspired His Word.
Yeah.
So do I believe Peter?
Oh, yes.
I believe Peter. Yeah. If I believe Peter, I'm ready to jump up and down and shout and glory God.
Yeah.
Because Peter was on top of that mountain, and Peter saw the Lord Jesus Christ in he saw him in his glory.
Yeah.
He was shining brighter than the sun.
Wow.
That gets pretty bright. I mean, tell me something tonight. Can you look into the face of the sun? Why, you can't do that. You can't do that. I mean, you destroy the retina in your eye in no time. Well, he was brighter than the sun. So they didn't gaze upon him, did they?
No.
It's one of these deals. Shining so bright. And of course, part of that is his millennial glory. as the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennium will be seated in Jerusalem, and the light that goes out from the Son of God will go all the way around the world. And anywhere in the world, if they see that light, it'll lead them right to Jerusalem.
Right.
And according to the book of Zechariah, they can come, and they can come to where the King is seated in Jerusalem. All they got to do is follow the light. That's what I'm doing tonight. The entrance of thy word giveth, amen, giveth understanding, the simple, following the light. This is the light we have, and we're going to follow it. Now look how he finishes this. This is a beautiful thing. Said the Lord, said, this is my Son, whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mountain.
Right.
All right, there we are. Now we either call Peter a liar, or we believe what he says.
Yeah.
Well, I believe him.
Yeah.
We have also, now look at this, a more sure word of prophecy.
Yeah.
Whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. Have you ever noticed, how many have ever been in a cave where there's total darkness? Total. Most of you have. And I was amazed. God said, you can't see anything. You put your hand before your face, can't see it. But all it takes is a match. The light of a match, and every eye will look straight at that match. You know why? That's the light. That's the light that's shining in the darkness. All right. He's about to tell you that this book is the light shining in the darkness. You ought to have a love for the Bible. You ought to have a love for the Bible, folks. There's no other book like this book. Now look how he does this. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. The day dawning is the second advent of Christ. He's coming again. But right now, he's arisen inside my soul because he's alive in me. So there's a light inside me. Look at verse number 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. How many of you have ever heard somebody say, well, man just wrote the Bible.
Yeah.
It's written by man.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Sure. So why do they say that? They would say it to discount it because it's nothing but a man's opinion. If man wrote the Bible, it's no greater than the man that wrote it. Man is a human instrument. Holy men of God spake as they were moved. Now look at verse 21. The prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What is this? This is the inspiration of Scripture. It's inspired. As they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Say, then preacher, you believe that every word of God is pure? That's what the Bible says. That's what it says. It says every word of God is pure. Then you believe that the Bible is the light in a dark place? Yes, I believe the light. The Bible is the only light in this dark place. And do you believe that it is inspired of God? In other words, human men capable of error, human men that were sinners, yet when they wrote Scripture, it's not really them writing it, it's the Holy Ghost writing it. That's exactly what I believe. Now look at the comparison, though. Look at this comparison he gives you. This is remarkable. Now look at verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. So wait a minute, what are you saying? I'm saying that the Bible is a more sure word of prophecy than whatever you may hear from the Spirit, or they might have heard, and I'm not doubting at all that Peter's telling you the truth. But you see, you have an absolute standard right here. You've got God's holy word. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This is one of the reasons I don't call myself prophet. I'm a preacher, but I don't write Scripture.
No.
See what I mean? Yes. I may get up here and get caught up in emotion, get yelling, screaming, stomping around. I'm liable to say something. It may not necessarily be exactly scriptural. It may sound good as preaching, but it's not necessarily right down the line. You mean you've heard all this, folks?
Yeah.
I've heard everything under the sun from some of the best preachers in the world. But we're men. We make mistakes. See, well, I've said it. Okay, you heard it, didn't hear it, okay. But the book, you got the book. That's what matters. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And that changes everything. Because I can hold that up to my heart and I can say, Lord, I may mess up. I may misquote it. I may not be able to even understand half of what you're saying, but I believe it. I believe it. I believe it, and I do. I do. I can work with Greek lexicons and Hebrew lexicons and the whole nine yards. But I love the book. I love the book. That's God's Word. It is without error. Father, bless your Word. Lord, give us a great love for the Scripture. You said it's a more sure word of prophecy. You said it's a light that shineth in a dark place. You told us that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. They were inspired by the Holy Ghost. You even told us that the prophets prophesied of things that they didn't understand, knowing that they were ministering to us and not themselves. You told us that. You told us that angels desire to look into those things. Don't know. But now, the Holy Ghost that has come down from heaven opens up the things that angels desire to look into. Bless my brothers and sisters. Bless them all for coming out tonight. Lord, may they have sweet fellowship. God bless them, Lord. And those that are watching over the internet, Father, and watching as we stream out here tonight, bless them. Lord, bless them. God, give them sweet Holy Spirit, comfort and understanding and instruction. And then those that will watch this later, I pray you'd use it for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in His holy name. Amen. 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 Greatest thing somebody could say about me, that guy's crazy about Jesus. Amen. You got me. Got me pegged. So you ought to be about the church. You ought to be about the ministry. You ought to be about where God's sending you. You ought to be, get Jesus right first. And all the rest of this will be okay. It'll be all right. Works and ministries and calls, that's all fine. But Christ is first. I can't shut up. Won't get back into this thing tonight. It's good to see you, folks. It's good to...